And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and drawing near, rolled back the stone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners and guests, as I said earlier, we are celebrating the greatest feast of the church year. It has had the longest period of preparation, 40 days to be exact, 46 if we include the 6 Sundays of Lent. We have sacrificed much, prepared much, prayed much, spiritually purged ourselves much, because we needed to do that, and among other reasons, to prepare for this greatest and most solemn of feasts. This is the greatest miracle that our Lord worked, of course, his own resurrection from the dead. And we are called upon to a newness of life with all of the graces that we gained during Lent. There needs to be a new holiness in our lives, a more fervent life than before. How tragic would it be to go back to any of the sinning or less than perfect striving for that kind of holiness to which we are called. As St. Paul says in Colossians, if you are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. He says, you have died. What does he mean by that? He means to die to our sinful inclinations. And in doing so, we will live more and more unto Christ. But I would like to focus now on the tomb. And particularly the stone. I saw a little picture earlier today. And it shows the stone rolled away from the opening. And there was a wry inscription below says, the most unsuccessful lockdown in all of history. Remember that it wasn't just the Roman guards that were posted to make sure that that man could not have his disciples steal him during the night. Pilate told them, you place a guard. And these temple guards, Jewish guards, had much more at stake than the Roman soldiers did. They were going to make sure that stone would not be rolled away. Every precaution was in place. We cannot but admire exceedingly the faith of the holy women who went to anoint the body of Jesus not knowing how they were going to get inside the tomb. There is such an important lesson in this, my dear brethren. We must imitate them. They did not go and find out how the stone would be rolled back. They knew the guard was there, but you see, they were doing what lay in their power. And that is what we too must do as we face the difficulties in our day and age. So many forces of evil at work against God, against his church, against morality, against decency, against faith. And we may be tempted to say, I have to see the miracle happen first, and then I will do my part. No. We must be as the holy women. As they're going, they do not know, but they are trusting in God. They are all ready to anoint the body of Jesus because there wasn't enough time to do so before, at least not fully, before he was laid in the tomb. And that, remember, there could be absolutely no servile work once the sun went down, because then the Sabbath began for the next day. So they had to abandon the full preparations for the burial that they would have liked to have done. So there they are, going in faith, relying on God, and yet still doing what lay in their power. We should be, as I said, greatly, so greatly inspired by their example to do what we can and leave the rest in God's hands. Who will roll away the stone? Are there not many stones that have to be rolled away? It could be stones in our own lives, sins or bad habits we've been struggling to conquer. Again, rely on God as they did and do your part. We must remember the power of God is infinite. And in the resurrection, now remind you, nobody saw it happen. No human being saw it happen. They saw the after effects, but they didn't see that bleeding, tortured body come to life again in most wondrous, glorified fashion. But we do know some things, and I want to share just a couple of facts that were recounted in the most recent Newsmax magazine that spoke about new evidence. Even more new evidence has presented itself regarding the Shroud of Turin. And the most amazing things began to be discovered scientifically. This isn't even on faith, although the faith has always been such an important part here, but science can now even add to what faith already says, that was the winding sheet, the linen cloth in which Jesus was laid. And that started in 1978, and one of the photographers, a man by name of Barry Schwartz, who was a fallen away Jew. He wasn't even practicing Judaism. He, at first, wasn't going to come along this expedition to scientifically examine and photograph the shroud. And then he decided to come along. And although he didn't seem to become a Catholic, at least he took a big step towards that by saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ." And actually, he gave us a talk at the Fatima conference some 15 years ago. Keep praying for him that he embrace the entire Catholic faith. But as I said, from 1978 on, the most amazing facts were discovered. And just the idea of that image being impressed on the shroud, let me tell you these facts. The image appears to be created by an oscillating strobe of high-intensity light with a simple wavelength. Scientifically, they were able to establish this, but this gets even more amazing. This light came from inside the body. And this event happened, as far as science can tell, again, looking at the effect, it happened in 1/40th of a billionth of a second. Let me repeat that. 1/40th of a billionth of a second. This light, like a laser being, and it's estimated at 2.5 billion watts. To create a similar light, one would need all of the electric power generated on Earth to achieve this. So this is what science tells us about the image impressed upon the shroud, the Holy Shroud there in Turin, Italy. Why do I say this, my dear brethren? To remind you of the infinite power of God. So as we celebrate this feast of the resurrection of our Lord, of him who received such a great and superabundant reward for his being obedient unto the death of the cross, we must continue to grow in our faith and in our trust in Almighty God. To move whatever stones need to be moved. Our faith falls short at times. We ask too much, how will it be moved? And we need to remember that that will happen as God wills it to be moved. What is in our power and what must be done is to live unto Christ, to be dead to our sinful selves, so that we may live that life of love and holiness ever growing. Let us not forget to celebrate with our Blessed Mother throughout all Easter season. We will be saying time and time again, say this at noon and at 6 p.m. every day instead of the Angelus, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. For he whom thou didst merit to bear hath risen as he said, Alleluia. Keep always saying, pray for us to God, Alleluia. She's the co-redemptrix, and she shares in the glory and the magnificence of her son's resurrection. And we rejoice with her and with Jesus. A blessed Easter to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.